Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody tell me!
Of Life Radio, where, you know what, just occurred to me a little while ago that it is now officially springtime, which means it's a time for revitalization, new beginnings, and of course it's a time for some good old-fashioned personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am the Chief, coming to you from somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon, where it is a beautiful, sunny, warm but not hot spring day. Air is clear, skies are clear, no smoke from burning federal courthouses, at least not this far from Portland. Don't know what's going on downtown, but yeah, it is springtime, and it's, I don't know, just nice. I went out in front of my house, and, you know, the azalea bushes are starting to, you know, bloom, and my little perennial flowers are coming up, you know, my Asian lilies, and some other kind of flower. I don't even know what it is, but okay. Yeah, it's getting nice, so I'm feeling good here. But now that I'm done, now that I'm feeling good, now it's time to open my eyes and look at what's going on. Damn. I don't feel so good anymore. I was having a little online discussion with my friend in Japan that gives me a lot of insight. I talked about some things. I'd asked him some questions, and he was saying that with all the craziness going on, at least one silver lining is that maybe we can enjoy a little schadenfreude just watching the old Democrats and liberals and rhinos and all these Biden voters with their buyer's remorse. And, you know, I thought about that, and you know, from where I am, I'm not seeing a whole lot of buyer's remorse from those people, simply because I'm not seeing anything from them. Is it just me? Or have all the people who spent 4 years complaining about how terrible things were going and how we needed to fix them, and now that they've got them fixed, they just sort of disappeared? I mean, you know, they didn't immediately disappear after the election or the inauguration because they were still talking about Trump and all how terrible and how he messed everything all up and all this and how we had to impeach him after he was gone and it didn't matter. And that's all they could talk about. And they didn't hardly talk about what President Biden was doing, all the wonderful things he's doing for America. Well, now, you know, as time passes, they're just running out of bad things to say about Trump. So we're still waiting for them to talk about, well, how great a job Biden is doing, how much better he's doing than Trump, you know, how the border is now completely under control and we have a sensible immigration policy and everything's proceeding nicely and there's no more kids in cages and all those terrible things that were happening in the previous administration have all been fixed because Joe Biden. And how? You know, well, pandemic's over because Biden somehow managed to make a vaccine or at least distribute what was already made. So now we're all living in perfect harmony. Everything is hunky-dory. And yeah, I'm getting a little bit bored. I keep looking at my Facebook and places where my leftist, you know, friends, acquaintances, my little, stethoscope on the wall of that other echo chamber. I don't know what they're thinking. They're not talking. They've gotten quiet. They've gone away. Could they maybe be having some second thoughts? Because realizing that if they try to talk about good things that the current administration is doing, they're worried that they're going to appear really foolish the next day when, you know, something stupid happens. How the latest pictures from the border aren't going to look so good. Yeah, they've just disappeared. Okay. So here I am. I like to talk about what the left is thinking. One of my favorite things to do here. And I have nothing to say. Well, I guess I should just end the show. Nah. I'll keep going. I don't have a whole lot of notes here, but it really wasn't all that hard to just look and find a few things to talk about. So, you know, okay. Here's something. Yesterday we in Colorado, where was it? Boulder. I've been to Boulder. Of course, I've been everywhere. I drove a truck for years. Just remember, I made a delivery in Boulder, and it was as ridiculous as I had heard. Just a whole bunch. You know, that's where, like, the University of Colorado is, I think, and all kinds of left. And, yeah, it's almost, you could just, you know, they just look like leftists there. I see that in some places in the Portland area or Seattle when I used to go up there a lot. Just the leftists. But, okay, there was a shooting in Boulder, also the one in Atlanta, and I mean, get a little to that, but talk about Boulder, because I guess there were like, 10 people, something like that, were killed, and I think one of them was a cop, I'm not sure. Our beloved president was all on top of it. What did he have to say? You know, I want to be very clear. This is one thing I do know. He had said, you know, he didn't have all the facts, but one thing I do know enough to say on in terms of what's happened there While we're still waiting for more information regarding the shooter, his motive, the weapons he used, the guns, the magazines, the weapons, the modifications that apparently have taken place with those weapons involved here, I don't need to wait another minute, let alone another hour, to take common sense steps to save lives in the future and urge my colleagues in the House and Senate to act. We can ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines in this country once again. I got that done when I was a senator. It passed. It was the law for the longest time. We should do it again. I'll have much more to say as we learn more, but I wanted to be clear. Didn't talk about, this is kind of, you know, the never let a good crisis go to waste scenario. Immediately when somebody shoots there's a shooting, immediately we're looking for ways to take guns away from the people who didn't shoot anybody. That's what they're doing. It seems we had a little Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, said that the president is considering executive action on gun control. And the quote is, the way that he sees it is that there are a number of levers that any president of the United States can use, including working through legislation, including executive action. There's an ongoing process, and I think we feel we have to work on multiple levels at the same time. Yeah, they're just trying to do something, using an excuse. Obviously, they don't care about criminals having guns, because what they're doing won't take guns away from criminals. They apparently want criminals to have guns, just not the law-abiding citizens. So, yeah, that's where we're at with that. But, okay, here's what I found from this situation that was really interesting, because all the tweets and everything that were going out, I read something with, the leftists were just tweeting up a storm and trying to politicize this shooting. And the whole thing is, extremely tired. Somebody tweeted, extremely tired of people's lives depending on whether a white man with an AR-15 is having a good day or not. We don't have any information about the shooter except he was shirtless, so I guess he's white. See, a man was, I guess we know the race of the shooters. A man was taken out of the store in handcuffs by police. See, this seems to be the narrative that they were trying to portray. He must have been a white guy, because had he not been white, he would not have been arrested. The police would have just shot him on sight. Now, this strikes me as a little bizarre. So only white people get arrested and black people are shot. But I always heard that our prisons were like disproportionately full of black people. Now, how is it possible for our prisons to be full of black people if no black people are ever arrested? Am I missing something here? I must be. only white people are arrested, so only white people can go to prison, but only black people go to prison, even though, so I guess the prisons are only full of dead people. That's the only way I can logically put this together. We have prisons for dead people. Now, okay, turns out we do have they have the name of the shooter. What was his name? Ahmad al-Alawi al-Issa, Syrian refugee or immigrant, something like that, deeply religious Muslim. Gee. So, that explains it. No, it doesn't. Okay, yeah, it was, you know, I had a picture. I saw a picture of him. Oh, yeah, looked kind of like a white guy with the beard here. And guy's got a garbage gut. Nonetheless, he was a Muslim, so... does that mean we can no longer talk about him anymore? Because, I'm curious also. 21 years old, and, he was absolutely hated Trump. I guess he had a... Dalia's Facebook account was deleted, but our Facebook page, but they kind of got to it before that happened. Funny how anything that doesn't fit the narrative seems to get deleted awfully quickly. Nonetheless, okay. This is what I was trying to get to. We have a tweet from a person named Mina Harris, who happens to be the niece of the vice president. The Atlantic shooting, not even a week ago, violent white men are the greatest terrorist threat to our country. Oops. I deleted, and then she followed that up earlier. That was yesterday. Today, she I deleted a previous tweet about the suspect in the Boulder shooting. I made the assumption based on his being taken into custody alive and the fact that the majority of mass shootings in the U.S. are carried out by white men. Yeah, so she just assumed that all this. Okay. Enough about that. Let me see this. I've been babbling on. Here's something that just caught my eye this a few hours ago, and this was something of a, it seems that we officially have reparations for racism, not for slavery. We haven't got to that yet, but the city of Evanston, Illinois has approved a reparations program for black Americans. Now, here's what got to me, though. You see, is there anything that leftists cannot mess up? It's a $10 million measure, which will be funded from annual cannabis taxes. Is there anything they can't mess up? I mean... here you are. You just want to chill out, toke up, but now you can't You can't do that legally without supporting a racist program to divvy up money according to skin color. Is there anything the leftists cannot screw up? Ugh. Okay. There's a couple. Let me see. What did I see? Oh, yeah. You have to, in order to qualify, it's makes $400,000 available and $25,000 home ownership and improvement grants plus mortgage assistance. But it can only go to black residents who can prove that they're direct descendants of Evanston residents between the period of 1919 and 1969. So I guess for those 50 years, ever there was systematic racism, but does it mean it no longer exists? Because, I mean, no racism after 1969? Is that what they're trying to say here? I'm not getting this. Now, of course, this is in Illinois, so there was never any slavery there, so they're not doing that, but they're trying to atone for past sins. My question is, are we... We're trying to pay descendants of people who were harmed, not the people who were harmed. See, the way I read this, it says you have to prove that they're direct descendants of Evanston residents between the period of 1919 and 1960. Well, what if you're like my age? Then if the city of Los Angeles were to do something like this, I mean, I was a resident of Los Angeles in that time period. Of course, I'm the wrong color, so it doesn't matter. But okay, here's the bottom line on all of this is, though, there is now an official government has come up with an official program to divvy out money, taxpayer money, to people based on the color of their skin, theoretically, to atone for something, to make these payments not to the people who might have a legitimate claim because they were discriminated against, but to the descendants who, okay. And here I am, almost out of time again. So here is something I saw yesterday, and wow. I guess I kind of have to talk about this. This is, actually saw this in the national news, but it concerns something that, happened here in the state of Oregon. There's the health officials unveiled a new proposal. They actually unveiled this proposal a couple months ago. Just didn't hear about it, but it just sort of came up because what they're trying to do is this is one of those places where you have the mask mandates. On my rare trips out, I never wear a mask except I carry one in my pocket. And if I go into my store, I stick the mask on, and as soon as I get outside and 6 feet away from everybody, I take it off. In fact, I have like a disposable mask. Everyone else in my family, all the leftists in my house, they all grab their mask. I have one mask I've been using for months because it's just for show anyway. But they are planning, there's a proposal to make the mask mandate permanent. Yes, you heard me. They just want to say, okay, permanent mask. Now, they're not really talking about, they say they're not talking about making a permanent mask mandate in Oregon. The thing is, the order is set to that they're working on. It was passed in November by the Workplace Safety Department or something like that. Requiring employers to implement the state-imposed guidelines for social distancing and masks and everything like that. Well, that order is set to expire in a few weeks. And so rather than have to redo it, they just want to make it permanent. And then if things ever get back to normal, they can just repeal it if they get around to it. Or maybe they just, maybe they actually do want to keep it forever, just because if we don't have mask mandates, we might forget who's boss. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Vorpal Bites, sounds like same sort of thing is going on in Indiana. Things will never return to normal. I don't know what normal is anymore. But, yeah, I'm just about out of time. And you know what? Since I'm talking about this, first I'll thank Bob Vorpalbite for joining me and confirming that I'm not the only one who's totally crazy. And Tim Tapp, who is... and here from the pretty much the start of the show, and you will be coming on in 31 minutes and change from now, and I'm about out of time, so I think I'll just, since I was talking about the craziness, I still have this on my list, same song I ended the show with last week, Hop Along Ginsberg, Mask Mandate Blues.
Good little bitches, got your bitch rag on your face. Good little bitches, got your bitch rag on your face. Now bow down before your master, show him that you know your place. Give that boot a good lickin', you hear? Good little bitches, gonna do just what you're told. Good little bitches, gonna do just what you're told. Stakes they jump, you say, how high? Well, I'm glad that you ain't me, dog, because that shit be getting old. COVID is a virus, your stupid mask ain't doing shit. It's a fact, COVID is a virus, your stupid mask ain't doing shit.